A very special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Cabot Creamery.
The fucking PB and J, bruv. What are you talking about? Well, you never seen a fucking peanut butter jelly sandwich.
Peanut butter and jelly.
Grilled cheese.
Pastrami.
Tuna salad. The Sandwich Universe.
Welcome back to the Sandwich Universe, a place where sandwiches are everything.
And everything is a sandwich.
It is. And I'm Molly Boz. I'm a professional chef and cookbook author with a deep love of sandwiches. And I'm joined here with my good friend, Declan Bond.
Hi, everyone. I'm a professional eater of sandwiches, among other things. And that's my claim to fame.
Plus, he has a baller palate.
Plus, I have a baller palate, according to Molly.
He really does. And we are here because we are on a mission to uncover all there is to know about 10 iconic American deli sandwiches. But today, we have a very special episode. It's going to be a difficult one, but we will get through it and you will see why.
It's going to be trying.
It's going to be hard,
it's
honestly.
It's going to be trying.
I'm a little nervous, but introducing the PB&J. From Wikipedia, of course, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich consists of peanut butter and fruit preserves, jelly or jam, spread on bread. The sandwich may be open face, made of a single slice of bread folded over, or made between two slices of bread.
Definitely not an open face. We can establish right now a sandwich has to be closed faced. That's just the definition.
So there can be a fold, but yeah, there has to be bread on top and bottom.
Like in a baguette.
Yeah.
I also just don't know about folding a single slice over in half. I feel like
I've definitely done it, dude. Come on.
Correct.
Like a slice of whole wheat squish bread, just kind of be like, slap on some PB&J, slap it in half, shove it down the gall. Like, it's just, you don't overthink the PB&J sometimes.
Okay, fair. I think the big question, so for everybody listening, I am a savory person. I like savory foods. The PB&J is a weird outlier sandwich that I feel like in my head, it's like this weird nostalgic thing for, you know, kind of like elementary school days. And I've just never...
It's yeah, like in the Ziploc baggie, smushed in your lunchbox. I feel like that's how you perceive the PB&J.
Yeah, but I never had that lunchbox. Like, that was not my PB&J, or that was not my sandwich experience.
You saw it from afar, and you were like, I don't fuck with
that. I saw it from afar. and then it turned into a kind of weird thing at some point when I experienced, it's like a sandwich, like, aberration that came in this little like cellophane pouch that was like a peanut butter and jelly dumpling with like smushy white bread pre-made. And I feel like ever since then
you were scarred,
and even before I've been traumatized, and I don't ever make PB&Js.
Declan hates a PB&J. I'm just going to come right out and say it. He's been dreading this episode for weeks. He's like, how am I going to do this episode? And I've told him, it's okay. Like, you don't have to love a PB&J. We can still talk about it. And maybe, just maybe, we can get to a place where there's a version of a PB&J that you can handle and that your palate will find agreeable. And that would be the ultimate goal of this pod
that,
for me.
I think that's and just so you know, you and listeners, I have resolved to find that PB&J. I'm not going to be a stick in the mud. I'm ready to come along. We're going to have to make some, you know, some concessions. We're going to have to change things up a bit for sure, but I'm not going to just outright reject it. I want to find the solution.
I love that. An open mind. So my relationship to a PB&J is a different one from Declan's. I like a PB&J. I don't love a PB&J. Like, it's not the first thing that I reach for when I want to make a sandwich, but I can totally appreciate it. And there's a time and a place for it. The last time that I had a PB&J was on a hike with my brother during COVID. It was one of the, you know, one of the things that we could actually do in COVID safely together when we weren't living together was go on hikes. And he made us PB&Js, and it was smushy and it was sloppy, but it was also kind of perfect. And so I think that, like many people, I appreciate a good PB&J in the right context, on the top of a mountain.
Yeah, I will say PB&J of all the sandwiches is maybe the most, but definitely a very transportable, eatable friendly sandwich that, you know, you can take anywhere and you're not too worried about, you know, it getting smushed or it getting, you know.
Yeah, like its very nature is like, I'm kind of smushed.
Yeah.
out the gate.
Well, which is why I feel like it kind of has never been that inspiring, a sandwich, just because it's just like...
It's the anti-BLT, is what you're saying.
It's no texture. It's just like a glob.
Yeah.
I guess also in preparing for this podcast, this is one of the podcasts I actually prepared for because I was thinking a lot about PB&Js and I had resolved with my open mind to find a great one. I learned that it was a wartime ration thing in World War II. Because peanut butter is very protein rich. Jelly was like fresh on the scene in mass quantities. And so it was a World War II ration to serve the troops PB&Js, which is, I think, then cascaded into it becoming like an American iconic sandwich because GIs came back. They were craving their PB&Js.
What else can we find on the PB&J?
Okay, I just found one, which is the most expensive PB&J in the whole world. Costs $350.
Honestly, thought it would have been more expensive than that. What's on the sandwich?
You thought it would be more expensive. $350. That's an expensive sandwich, no matter what sandwich it is.
I guess that's a ridiculous amount of money to pay for a PB&J. Where was it?
That's several meals. It's from a restaurant in Chicago called the West Loop. It comes on, gold leaf bread, edible gold leaf bread. It features the most expensive jelly in the world, which is called Maison Dutrier Red Currant Jam, which apparently is de-seeded by hand. Each little berry is de-seeded by hand. Is that really necessary? I mean, you're making jam after all. And this is important, goose quills.
What the fuck? Sorry, so a goose quill goes into the currant, plucks out the seed, discards it?
That's right.
Okay, I mean, this seems unnecessary. I mean, would eat, but like not paying $300 for it. I think you're right. $300 is just a scotch too much for a PB&J. Okay. So the average American will have eaten more than 2,000 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches before graduating from high school. You are not the average.
No,
how many
average.
Do you think you
but
ate before
think,
graduating high school?
Well, I probably ate six. But I think the actual question is, how many do they eat after graduating? Is it like they go to like 2020 or 2050? Or do they just keep eating high velocity?
I think it really depends
PB&Js.
Like who you are, you know. Like my brother has probably had maybe 3,000 since high school, but I think in the case of someone like you, not so many.
The largest PB&J that was ever made was in what state do you think, Molly?
Wisconsin.
It was Texas.
I don't know why. I just like felt so strongly about that. I was like, there's no question in my mind it happened in Wisconsin.
And how many pounds?
342
pounds of PB&J.
That is too much PB&J.
A dedicated crew constructed the PB&J with rakes, hose and garden trowels to spread the peanut butter jelly.
Amazing. Get into it.
All right. I think the internet has told us what it has to tell.
Nothing more.
I think it's nothing more to see here. Let's take some calls, or some questions rather, from the people.
Right after this break. A very special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Cabot Creamery, which is made up of a co-op of New England and New York dairy farmers and makes some of the great cheddar cheese of our generation.
At Total Wine & More, find the best gifts for everyone on your list, whether it's a Cabernet for sis or a single barrel bourbon that dad will love. With the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine & More. Spirits not sold in Virginia and North Carolina. Drink responsibly. B21. Where can you find the best gifts at great low prices that everyone will love? At Total Wine & More, of course, with so many great bottles to choose from. Find something for everyone on your list, whether it's a Cabernet for your sis, sparkling wine for a coworker, or a single barrel bourbon for dad. And if you need any help, just ask one of their friendly guides for advice. With the lowest prices for over 30 years, you'll always find what you love and love what you find. Only at Total Wine & More. Spirits not sold in Virginia and North Carolina. Drink responsibly. B21.
All right. For our first question from at 13 Wada Wada.
I am wondering what the most underrated jam or jelly is on a PB&J sandwich. Thank you so much.
Well, we did spend a weekend making PB&Js recently because
we did,
in anticipation of this episode, and Declan knowing.
Otherwise,
how
I would have
would
no.
Be.
I'd have nothing to say. I'd be like, you the just, most underrated. I don't know.
They're all overrated, is what you would say.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, do you want to tell them what we landed on? Because I felt like we kind of had a revelatory PB&J, even though, of course, you'd probably never make it again for yourself. But all things considered, we did hone in on one kind of jam that was pretty fire.
Yes, I think that the cherry preserve jam, whatever jam preserve stuff, was a big unlock.
Yeah.
It definitely paved the way for an open mind.
That's why we're here today, honestly. It's the only reason he showed up today. Cherry preserves.
Yeah, I don't know. Something about cherries, like they're just like deep and rich. And I feel like compared to the grape jelly that you typically get.
Or strawberry.
It just had a lot more body and
acidity. I felt like there was more acidity. Yeah. It wasn't just like one note sweetness, which is what you kind of like. Strawberry jam for me is dessert. Like there's nothing but sweetness happening in strawberry jams. There's barely any acidity in it. And so one thing that we do talk about a lot, Declan and I, when it comes to sandwiches, is acidity is so important in sandwich construction. Because there's oftentimes so much fat in a sandwich, and especially in a PB&J, because peanut butter is fatty as fuck. And so a jam that introduces some acidity can move mountains. Yep. And we feel like the cherry jam can do that.
I do think it's worth probably broaching the subject of J being either jam or jelly, and if we have a perspective on that. I mean, jelly is a funny thing. Like, I just don't know when I've even had jelly in my fridge.
Okay, so let's lay out the differences. Jelly is a translucent, clear, fruitless preserve, I guess. Fruitless condiment made of fruit, but where all of the actual substance of the fruit is gone and just the essence is there.
Mm-hmm.
And then jam is a similar condiment, but it has...
It's not translucent, and it's got the bits.
It's opaque. It has the bits. It has a little bit of texture, a little bit of body, and, in my opinion, is superior.
Is the superior jay.
Like, what the hell is jelly, if we're being honest? Who cares? Okay, so that's the jelly jam convo. Should we take another one? Okay, next up, this one's coming in from at Yes She Can, but it's actually spelled Yes She Con, like the Cannes Film Festival. Very fun.
My question is about the Holy Grail of peanut butters. So are you going creamy or crunchy? And then on top of that, are you going for the Skippies and Jifs of the world or the fancy, have to be refrigerated, super oily, healthier, non-saturated fat versions of peanut butter?
It's Jif for me all the way. Like, I don't need any of that natural stuff on my PB&J. Sorry.
As far as crunchy, and I don't really have a strong perspective on Jiffy because I don't really... I haven't had much of that, but I will say that crunchy is not under question. It ought to be.
It reigns
ought
supreme.
To be crunchy.
It has to be crunchy.
It must be crunchy. I think I'd go so far as to say, should peanuts be added to crunchy peanut butter in order to increase crunch levels?
We've done it before.
Because there's not that much crunch in crunchy peanut butter. Like and a PB&J is the most textureless glob sandwich. So we got to do everything we can to texture it up.
Yes, I have been known to reinforce my crunchy peanut butter with additional roasted salted peanuts.
Reinforcements.
And it's magic. So I feel like that's a hot tip, honestly. You're going to make a PB&J. It's not that hard to have peanuts, roasted salted peanuts lying around. Chop a couple up, stir them right into your already crunchy peanut butter. And like now we have some dynamism in our sandwich.
Yeah.
All right. That's the tea on that.
And okay, so this one comes to us from @hangwithfriends.
What is the weirdest thing you've added to a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and loved?
I feel like I've heard people talk about pickles, not saying that I would necessarily do it, but I've heard people talk about spicing them up with pickles. But last weekend, we made some PB&Js because we tried to convince you of the merits of a PB&J and maybe like minorly successful. What was the ingredient that we ended up putting in, which is like maybe kind of obvious, but kind of was like the ultimate level up?
Bacon was the secret.
It was. And why is that?
Well, so bacon's kind of an obvious candidate because everything just like demands bacon when you're like asking yourself a question about sandwiches. But I think also there's a textural element, like it gets really, you know, crunchy and that helps. I think the savory part like actually works out because it's so aggressively salty that the jam can actually balance it. Like
the jam can hang.
Salty peanut butter is not that salty. And so a PB&J ends up just tasting like a kind of sad pastry.
Declan once called it the poor man's jelly donut, to which I replied, I think it's the rich man's jelly donut because I think that a PB&J costs more than jelly donut. But okay, he thinks it's a pastry is kind of the bottom line.
It feels like a pastry.
It is kind of pastry-esque.
All this is honestly making me think about a savory PB&J that has no sweet jam in it. And it's just like fermented chili pepper jam, bacon, and salty reinforced peanut butter, crunchy.
Yes. It honestly makes a lot of sense because a lot of cultures skew their like sauces and dressings and things in a sort of like savory manner when it comes to peanut butter. But also, it has to have some kind of a sweet element. It's in the name. Like, you can't just do that. You're not authorized. There's got to be, you have to, I don't care what it is, but I'm just going to say, if you want to go in the savory direction, and I don't care how much jam you want to put on your sandwich, you want to put just a teaspoon, fine. It has to be present.
Okay. We're keeping an open mind.
It's part of the identity of the PB&J.
Let's take another call.
Okay, let's table that for now.
Hey Molly, my name is Bobby and I am a diehard fan of the extremely crunchy PB&J. Basically, I'm looking to have a handful of peanuts in my mouth with every bite of the sandwich. I'm interested to hear your thoughts and how I could still get that crunch factor, but with the volume of the sandwich turned up. Is there a different nut I could add to creamy peanut butter? Or would a different jam maybe spark it up? I know you'll have the right answer.
God, no pressure, Bobby.
Well, you're off to a good start there by just being a patron of the uber crunchy sandwich.
We talked about adding peanuts, you know, more peanuts back in, but I do think it's an interesting question. Like, what if you were to take creamy peanut butter and add something different to it for texture, so that we're like introducing a new flavor here. Mm-hmm. Like, for loving bacon on a sandwich so much, like, why not stir some bacon bits into the peanut butter?
That's kind of epic.
Or what if we finely chop celery and stir the celery into the peanut butter?
No.
I feel that.
Really?
You don't feel that?
I don't really feel that. Because, like, I feel like really finely chopped celery is, it like loses the thing that celery is so good at, which is giving you like that really big crunch.
Nah, dog. Nah. No. So it's a dice. It's a small dice on the celery. I'm thinking like the size of a celery dice that you might stir into tuna salad, but stir it into peanut butter.
Mm.
I've never been more clear on anything in my life, honestly. Like, don't even come at me right now. We're doing this.
Okay.
So I feel like that could be fun.
I feel like spiced nuts is coming to mind. Like,
ooh.
You get like, you know, like curried cashews. Ooh. Or, you know, spiced almonds, or, you know, like these kinds of things that,
yes,
happen in the world.
Oh, mamma mia. That sounds good.
Right? That could be good.
So let's stick to peanuts because it's peanut butter. It's peanut butter. We want to be peanut butter. We want to be peanutty.
Yeah.
I once had a bowl of peanuts at a bar in Mexico City that was fucking mind-blowing. They were deeply roasty, toasty, and there was like lots of little fried garlic slices or slivers in there, and tons of chilies. There was like whole chilies and then also like blitzed up ground chilies, and it was very salty, and the whole thing was just like flavor bomb territory. And so I'm thinking, why don't we take our peanuts in a very decidedly savory, spicy, kind of garlicky direction, and then fold that through the peanut butter to tip things a little bit in your favor, deck.
I love it.
And then I'm not sure what the jam is that's going to pair well with that, but we'll figure that out. I'm not worried about it. Here's one from @blacklar. Favorite cheese for your PB&J? Mine is feta. Like, yeah, you love this.
Wow, I am into this.
No,
I'm
you
so
guys,
into this.
No.
Thank you for writing this.
This
honestly,
ain't no grilled
thank
cheese.
Thank you for writing this.
Oh my God. I literally cannot
this.
With
I think,
this. It's just like,
I think feta is a great candidate
not the
for this
PB&J,
to be honest. Are we gonna have a fork in the road and have to go our separate ways, Molly?
Perhaps we may. So what, you're gonna go put,
I might
you're
have
gonna
to make
spice
very
nuts and put feta in your PB&J now? No one's gonna trust
nuts,
you ever.
Feta and mint jelly or preserved fermented chili
Jesus
jam PB&J.
Oh my God. Okay. That's for you and @blacklar to enjoy.
Can't wait.
Here's one from @JuanThaley. Best bread, ideally toasted, but it melts the PB too much. We got to talk about bread.
I feel like the tradition is obviously something squishy, whether it's, you know, whole wheat or white bread. That's just so what that one dot.
For me, it's like it's the whole wheat that has like the like very wan untoasted oats stuck to the crust. Do you know what I'm talking about? That feels iconic.
God, that stuff is,
to me,
that is yeah, that is definitely iconic. It's like the bread that a kind of a health conscious parent in the 1940s would have like reached
totally.
For. No, maybe the 1980s.
Yeah, maybe the 80s or 90s when we were around. I think we should figure out how to level up the bread. Like, I'm pretty sure we can all agree that squish bread is maybe, it works, it's fine, but it's maybe not optimal for a sandwich that's already squishy. So where do we want to go with this? And
well,
can I
just
say,
one quick. Yeah,
no,
ahead.
Don't even bring up sesame sourdough right now. It just, we can't. I know you're going to.
I was actually going the other way. I was going to say, you know, if we're reinforcing the peanut butter and we're potentially adding bacon and potentially feta, although we're not actually
oh
adding feta,
God.
But, you know, I feel like maybe is it possible that the bread should actually be contributing to the squishiness? And, you know, is that actually a good thing? I don't know.
No, I don't think so. I still think that at the very least, even if we take a generally squishy bread, it should be toasted. I agree with this person that toasting it provides some kind of barrier for which against which the jelly cannot seep through and totally sog things out. Although I will say I don't care for a warm PB&J. And so my ideal is a toasted bread, like even if it's a squish bread or a soft kind of sweet bread, similar to a Wonder Bread, it is toasted, then cooled, and then assembled.
Okay, so toasted bread, but not too toasted.
But cooled.
But cooled. Okay, there you go.
I don't know why I want to try brioche, even though I know that that's maybe working against the odds with you because it's naturally sweet. But for some reason, that feels like the kind of like way, the next step to a squish bread is sort of like the elevated squish bread. And if we're going to elevate everything else, we might as well all boats rise with the tide.
Yeah, I'm okay with brioche.
I don't know why it's speaking to me. I'm worried that you're going to find it too sweet, but I also feel like we're taking measures against that and it just kind of feels right.
It feels okay. I'm okay with that.
Okay. Agreed. Should we move into what's the sandwich we want to make here?
Yeah, I think I'm ready. I have a vision.
From the outside in.
From the outside in. We just talked brioche. I'm on board.
We're toasting it. I think we're broiling it and we are toasting it on both sides.
Both sides? Really? I was thinking one side.
No, we're toasting both sides. Okay, the PB&J needs some help in the texture department.
Okay, you're right.
Trust me on that. And I liked the idea of broiling it because throwing it in like a 400-degree oven, it will take a lot longer for it to toast and it will become like harder and drier. And I'm not trying to take away the integrity of that bread.
Yeah, we don't want like a breadstick.
No.
I think it should be decently thick too, good half inch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want a PB&J. I want to make a PB&J that is a meal.
Yeah.
Because I feel like oftentimes it's sort of like a snacky or like you have to eat a Granny Smith apple and a string cheese on the side in order to have a full meal. Let's make ours a meal. We're going to take already crunchy peanut butter and then we are going to add in some roasted chili and garlic, roasted spiced
blistered peanuts. I would say
blistered.
They have to be blistered. Roasted is one thing. It's like, yeah, you throw them in the oven, whatever. Blistered is like,
I want them
when
borderline
really,
burnt.
They just start to develop this like really this aggressive crunch.
Yes. I'm so into that and the deeply roasty toasty flavor. Mm-hmm. So we're going to take them really far in the oven. So that's for sure. We'll stir that into the peanut butter. Are we adding bacon? I vote yes.
Okay. It's solved.
That seems easy. And then the jam department. I feel like if we both love cherry jam and we've had at least one good experience with cherry jam with regards to a PB&J, we better stick with that if we're trying to convince you of the merits of a PB&J.
Yeah. I think barring, some kind of current jam that's been hand seeded with goose quills.
Goose quill.
The best we can hope for is a cherry.
Yeah, that's the very best we can do.
I'm actually excited about the cherry on this because I feel like that rich earthiness, but also the acidity will help.
I'm stoked to eat it.
All right, let's make one.
Okay, let's go shopping and hit the kitchen.
Shred it.
Prosciutto.
Nice.
They're perfect. I'm going to season them with lots of Aleppo pepper, which is a mild chili flake, so I can use a lot of it. So we're going to do sour cherry jam, chopping the nuts. And while you're working on nuts, I'm going to get the brioche in the oven.
Okay.
It toasts so fast. I'm going to walk these around outside to cool them off.
Okay, Molly is literally waving pieces of toast in the air around the yard.
Why don't you check on the bacon?
Oh yeah, how's that bacon doing?
I'm ready to assemble when you are.
Okay, let's do it.
I'm going on to the brioche with the peanut butter.
Reinforced.
to the nth degree. Wow, it's not spreading that well.
Yeah, it's Gotta admit,
it's pretty chunky.
It's fine. We'll get there. It's a delicate operation, but once we're there, it's going to be glorious. Just trying to put the jelly on top of the peanut butter, you guys. Okay, and now I'm breaking up this very nice crispy bacon. I'm excited to eat this.
Corn crust.
I feel like I would take a sandwich of this caliber, like, on a hike. I feel like it could go far places, and it could keep me sustained for days, if not weeks.
Weeks? Okay, it's not that big. I would totally eat this on a hike. It feels like a good, because there's lots of protein and sugar, and it's kind of got it all. Okay, I'm excited to take a bite.
Kosher dill pickles.
I don't think I've come full circle,
extremely sharp.
It is delicious.
I think it's cluck
shreddis.
Yeah, it's very clucky.
And you just don't cluck.
I don't cluck.
You're not a big clucker. It's a cluck and jay.
Yeah. Well, thanks for tuning in to the Sandwich Universe.
Yet again. We will see you next time for another episode, another iconic Squish American bread. Deli sandwich. Special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Cabot Creamery,
mayonnaise,
and to the Food 52 Podcast Network ketchup, and Coral Lee for putting this show together.
Mustard. Our theme music is by Jeffrey Brodsky.
And if you're loving the show, we would love if you would like and subscribe.
Frico. Like and subscribe.
Like and subscribe. Like and subscribe. You know.
Do the thing.
Do the thing, and we'll see you next time.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.